Brother Lynn. Hallelujah. Will you get your Bible and turn with me this morning? I'm going to start with a scripture in the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Then we'll go to the book of St. John 14. I'm preaching a message this morning that has rung in my heart all week. I mean, when I get in the Bible and I go to study and in digging, the Bible is just a book that is indescribable. Did you know that? Indescribable. And I love the Holy Word. I love the Holy Word. Now, the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. The book of Isaiah, chapter 63. I want to read verse 10, if I might. I'd like to read a bunch around it, but let's just keep it with that one verse. Now, I want everybody listening to this sermon, those listening by the internet or those listening by a DVD or a CD, I want you to make sure you hear this verse. This is an Old Testament scripture, and we don't think much of the activity, we don't think much about the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But he was mightily active. You must understand. He was mightily active, though often it was hid from the view of the people. There wasn't a lot of theology in the Old Testament about the Holy Ghost, this third member of the divine Godhead. No Jewish person who loved the Old Testament had any understanding of a Trinity of God, a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost was a wonderful part of their life, though they did not understand the personality behind the name. But listen to this in Isaiah 63 and 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Now, go to the book of John, chapter 14, and let me read some verses here. We'll begin with verse 14. John 14, verse 14. Powerful scripture, because the first thing I want to do this morning in this sermon is get a little new sense of respect for the person of the Holy Ghost. Just a fresh new sense of respect for the person of the Holy Ghost. St. John 14 and 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I will pray the Father, Jesus saying this now, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Did you get that? That he may abide with you forever. Now let's hear these words, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I like having something and someone whom the world can't have. Did you hear what I said? I like having an experience with someone whom the world cannot even understand. They cannot even understand. They do not know him. And you'll hear that here in this verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it, this is the world, seeth him not. They can't know him or understand him or receive him because they can't see him. See, the world is bound by their vision, by the natural, by what they can feel or see or hear. But we in the church must not and cannot be bound by the tangible, by only that which we can get a hold of and that by which we can handle. You know, if we're bound by that, we can never live a godly life. Now, you hear me now. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. But ye know him. This is the believer. This is the man or woman who's come to know Christ. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Listen to this now. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Wow, what truth. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without someone to comfort you. I will not leave you out without someone to hold up your arms. I will not leave you without someone to walk by your side. I will not leave you without someone who can get inside of you and make known me and my things to you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Let's ask God to help every one of our ears and eyes to be opened this morning, our spirits to be attuned. And let's hear what God's talking to us about. Father, I really need you this morning. And I'm utterly dependent upon you. And I'm yours to the best of my ability, Lord. And I know I have no reason to doubt I will be healed. And I thank you for that. But Father, while I am trusting and waiting, and it's so important that we learn to wait on the Lord, because he will be revealed to that man or woman who waits upon him. Thank you for that, Father. Now open our hearts this morning so we can hear this truth and never be the same. May it change us to the core of our being. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now listen to every word that comes from these earthly lips this morning, please, because I want to be a blessing to you. I'm preaching on this thought: grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve. Would you say the word grieve with me? Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. You know what it means to be grieved and to have someone grieved at you? Or to say something that you suddenly realize has grieved to somebody and you're trying to repent and try to get it straightened out? I mean, the word grieved is a powerful word. A powerful word. I love to preach on words. I'm not preaching on that word this morning, but I do want you to understand it. The word grieve is so important. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the Holy Ghost. Because I want you to understand the distinctive name that we call the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand that. I'll come to that in a moment. So don't let your ears miss anything that Brother Chambers is saying. Now, any professing Christian that resists the Holy Ghost will be brought to great bondage and great trouble and great spiritual death. You cannot be anything but empty as long as you grieve the Holy Ghost. You cannot be anything but empty as long as you grieve the Holy Ghost. The whole of the faith of Jesus Christ is wrought in and by the person of the Holy Ghost in our life. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. He's sitting there as your advocate and your intercessor. But he sent the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father, of course, being part of that sending, and sent him to come and dwell in us, that God the Father and God the Son make everything they are known to us, but they can only do that by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. If we resist the Holy Ghost, as they did in the Old Testament, and Isaiah calls them to task for, then we will be just like those Jewish people whom the Lord was turned to be their enemies. That's what the book said. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. This church world wants nothing but love, love, love. They can't handle truth, truth, truth. They can't handle correction, a chastisement as God gives to everybody that belongs to him. They just want love. Well, love without chastisement and truth will only lead you astray. It will destroy your soul. You've got to understand the two of them together. So the Holy Ghost is the New Testament title, the New Testament office of the Holy Spirit. Now understand, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the triune Godhead. The name of this person is Holy Spirit. That's the biblical name of the third member of the triune Godhead. But his title and office in the New Testament is Holy Ghost. Now, I really want everybody to get that, because that is important to me. I will never forget when I was studying the person of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Ghost some years ago, and I was in a deep study, and I wasn't satisfied with what I was learning. One night about 3 o'clock, I woke up suddenly with this very thought on my mind, and the Holy Ghost said something to me. The Holy Ghost said something to me that arrested me. I mean, it got me up. I got out of my bed, went into my library, my study, got my books, and started digging. And so the Spirit of God instructed me to look up what the word ghost means. Ghost, what does ghost mean? And I dig into the dictionaries and the Bible encyclopedias, and I find the word ghost means someone who represents another. You have a ghost. That's the spirit that represents you. A spirit, a ghost is a spirit that represents another. And that's the definition. If you'll go study it, you'll find that to be absolutely true. And so the Lord said to me, the Holy Ghost is his name because he came to represent Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is his title, I should say. His office would be a better word. His office in the New Testament sense is to represent Christ. So when we call him the Holy Ghost, we are just honoring the fact that he came to make the Lord Jesus real to us. How many of you want the Lord Jesus to be real to you? How many of you want to just be so full of Jesus until it overwhelms your soul? Well, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. The Holy Ghost is the one who represents the Lord Jesus. Even Jesus said when he comes, he will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he hear, that shall he speaks. The Holy Spirit, now the Holy Ghost, never represents himself. He always represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And everything that Jesus is, the Holy Ghost wants to make it real in us. That's why this Pentecostal blessing is such a wonderful blessing in a person's life. Hallelujah. Thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit who is made known in the New Testament church as God's Holy Ghost. Would you raise your hand and accept that in the name of the Lord? Raise it way up high. Now, if that bothers your theology and you need to study it a while, you feel free to do that. Because I don't want you just to take something because I said it. I want it to get a hold of you because it's from the Lord. He is God's representative in my life. Hallelujah. And so I love it. I love it with all of my heart. Now, I want to talk a little bit about honoring the Holy Ghost. Honoring the Holy Ghost. It seems to me that so much of the church world, and I visit and I witness, and everywhere I go, I witness. But when you use the term Holy Ghost, people put up a barrier. I'm talking about nominal people from nominal churches, or people who have been maybe taught that speaking in tongues or the work of the Holy Ghost is something dangerous, and you got to stay away from it. And there's much of that in our today's world. We have many Pentecostal churches. I keep up with things happening. And many Pentecostal churches are now taking the ministry of the Holy Ghost out of their theology. They don't want nothing to do with someone speaking in tongues in their church. They don't want nothing to do with someone claiming the gifts of the Holy Ghost in their church. They want a church to be very controlled. They want the service to be under the order of the things that the church crowd has planned. And they don't want anything that bypasses or goes by that. They don't want a moving of the Holy Ghost that leaves the preacher standing up there just praising God and worshiping. And there's nothing I love more than when the Holy Ghost sets me down and he takes over and he visits the house of God. Have you ever been in a church service like that? How many of you have ever been in a Pentecostal service where even the preacher was standing there aghast as the Spirit of God just flowed through the house? It'll never be disorderly. It'll never be just a lot of noise. It won't be somebody walking the back of pews. It won't be some kind of strains over the board emotion. I've seen the Spirit of God do some of the sweetest things you've ever heard of in your life. And there's nothing more wonderful than a visit of the Spirit of God. Oh, am I hungry for that? I'm hungry for it like it used to happen in the old Pentecostal churches. I've seen blue Shekinah glory fill a sanctuary until everybody is just standing in awe of what God's sweet spirit is doing. Oh, there's such a need of that in this generation. I tell you, miracles will take place. Healings will take place. Marvelous lives will be changed. You get an old sinner deep and dark in sin in the presence of a mighty move of the Holy Ghost, and he'll either run out or he'll run in. I'm telling you, it'll get them under conviction, and they'll want to find the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can move a sinner like the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I know that, friend. I've been there so many times. Now, let's talk a little bit about honoring the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what Jesus said. He said it best. He said, I will send you another comforter. I will pray the Father. And of course, it says in other places, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. It also says the Father, because it was a combination act. It was an act of the Father and the Son who sent back the Holy Ghost. And they sent back this Holy Ghost, and they called him another comforter. Now, this is very clear. This comforter was coming to replace a comforter that was leaving. Jesus crucified, resurrected, ascended, and he told them this was going to happen. But he said, when I go away, I'm sending back another comforter. Do you know that he even said it is expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you from the Father. Somebody raise a hand and worship God. I can't stand it when you're not worshiping at the beauty of the Word of God. This wonderful work of the Holy Ghost, it is marvelous. It's remarkable. It's mighty. And the church is desperate for the moving of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before. You will not know how my heart is crying and aching for the visitation of the Holy Ghost. I'll try to tell you, I don't know whether you can grasp it or not, but I am so hungry. I am thirsty. I wake up in the night before last, I woke up hungry, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I began to pray in a language that I don't ever remember hearing in my life. And I thought, as I'm laying there half asleep and praying in the Holy Ghost, that's got to be the language of my Father and my Savior and my Comforter. Hallelujah. It was thrilling to my soul. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me, church. This is real. You must learn to honor the Holy Ghost. If I can create in you this morning a honor toward the Holy Ghost like you've never felt, I would have done something marvelous for you. Because when you begin to honor him, you begin to pant after him. You remember David? King David said, take not your spirit from me. Take not your spirit from me. He was crying out. He had sinned, and he was repenting, and he was praying for the Father to forgive him and not to take the spirit from him. Hallelujah. He knew what it was for the Spirit of God to move upon him. So there's another comforter. And he said he will abide with you forever. Ah. There's no such thing, forgive me, there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit of God ever leaving you. When he comes to abide in you. He comes to dwell with you from now until the end of your walk with him. Hallelujah. Until you are with the Father on the other side. Until you cross over the great Jordan River, as we often think of it. The Holy Ghost will abide with you. He'll be there. Raise your hand and thank him for it. You don't ever have to be alone. You don't ever have to be left out there with no one to guide you and no one to help you and no one to comfort you and no one to keep you. He will abide with you forever. Somebody raise your hand in love on him, would you? Oh, I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, sweet comforter. I love you, the one who guides me and teaches me. Hallelujah. He called him even the Spirit of Truth. Even the Spirit of Truth. I like that. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth. The Bible says plainly that the Holy Spirit is the sword of the Word. the sword of the word. The word is double-edged, but when you give it out without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it becomes empty. It has no power. But when the Holy Word is anointed by the Holy Ghost, it cuts both coming and going. You can say that when the preacher is preaching, the word is cutting as it goes and it's cutting as it comes. It'll cut the preacher just like it will cut the congregation, and will bring you to a wonderful place. The Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. I honor the Holy Spirit because He's the Spirit of truth. I go to read my Bible often. The Spirit of God comes down on me and begins to move upon my soul. Hallelujah. And there's no way to describe the beauty of it. If you've never had the Holy Spirit to make the Word of God come alive in your heart, I pray this week, before 7 days is over, that you will have an experience with God where the Word of God will become so real to you and so mighty to you that it will change your total life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. What a God we serve. Even the Spirit of truth. No truth apart from Him. I'm telling you. No truth apart from Him. The world cannot know Him. Now you understand why sinners, when you try to testify, they look at you and they don't quite grasp it. And sometimes they get bothered at you. Especially if you're anointed of the Holy Ghost and it starts troubling them. Hallelujah. See, that's the beauty of the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget one time I was in a home of some people in a cult, and we were talking about the Bible and the doctors of their cult and how wrong it was. And they had an answer for everything you said. They'd been trained. Oh, brother, they knew how to answer your questions. And I'll never forget, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't tell them and don't argue scripture with them. Tell them what I did for you. Tell them about the saving power of the Lord Jesus in your life. Tell them about being sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And brother, I began to tell them what Jesus had done for me, and they threw their hands up and said, hey, no, we don't want to hear no more of that. We don't hear no more of that. We've never heard of that before. We don't want to hear that. And they really was ready for me to go. And so I learned when a Seventh-day Adventist or someone in these doctrines, a Jehovah Witness, comes to my door, I don't argue with them. I say, yes, I'll be glad to talk with you. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And then I'm going to let you tell me what Jesus has done for you. And I've never had one to stay long enough for me to finish. Does that make sense to you? I hope you learn that when a Jehovah Witness come to your door, don't just turn them away. Don't bring them in now. But go out on the porch and tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them how He got a hold of you and saved you and convicted you of your sins. And you turned from your sins and you turned to Jesus Christ. And your whole life was utterly changed. Tell them all about His grace in your life, His mercy in your life. I promise you, the truth of the Word anointed by the Holy Ghost will do something in the lives of men and women. Can you honor the Holy Ghost this morning? Can you start a new life of honoring the Holy Ghost on a regular basis? Honor Him. He is worthy of your honoring Him. I tell you what, when you honor Him, it blesses Him. See, if you can grieve the Holy Ghost negatively, then you can also worship the Holy Ghost positively. And if grieving Him makes Him grieve, then worshiping the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost makes them rejoice with you and move upon your life. You say, I never worship the Holy Spirit. Well, you can, as long as you worship Him in context with the Father and the Son. It's a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And oh, do I love to praise the Lord more and more lately. I'll just get some time and I'll just open my heart to the Holy Ghost and tell the Father, I want to be taught. I want to learn. Jesus, I want more of You than I've ever had. Let Your Spirit come down upon me in all of His love and grace. Oh, the beauty. Oh, the beauty. But you can know Him. You can know Him. And as you know Him, He comes to dwell in you. Did you notice that? As you know Him. That's what Jesus said to them very clearly. But you know Him, and He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. Somebody. Somebody that really loves the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Would you just raise your hand up? And would you just tell them how much you love them? Hallelujah. The Father said, let us make man. It's all right for you to call them, okay? He said, let us make man, speaking to the Son and the Spirit. Our Father and our God is a marvelous God, represented in three persons. I love to preach about the Trinity. Somebody says, do you understand it? No. If I understood God, I'd be big as he is. But because I'm just a little creature and he's the great God, I don't have to understand everything about him to know he's real. Somebody, praise him. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get you to help me. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord this morning. Now, let me talk about grieving the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Ghost? I've written down a number of things that I want to try to recount to you. Count him of no value. If you count him of no value in your life, you grieve him. If you just think that you don't really need the Holy Ghost, you'd make it by yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can't make it by yourself. Do you know what statistics say? And I talked about this on the radio yesterday. 26.2% of all Americans, 26.2% of all Americans have a mental problem with depression, oppression, or some form of mental anxiety, or some form of mental difficulty. 26.2%. That means one in every four. A little over one in every four. That means in Charlotte, North Carolina, with over 200,000 population, there's 50,000 of those people in Charlotte who have mental difficulties. Now much of that is oppression. Oppression from the devil. And the doctor would call it psychological problems. But we know the Bible good enough to know they're not psychological problems. They are attacks from the devil. You say the devil only attacks certain people. The devil attacks every living soul on the face of this earth. There is nobody that's not under the attack of the devil or his demons. You better hear me. I'm telling you that those 26.2% of Americans that have mental problems, I don't know what the percentage might be, but a great part of it is nothing but oppression from the devil. Amen. The devil will make you sick in your head. How many know that? How many have been under attack from the devil until you felt sick in your head? How many have been so oppressed and so attacked by the enemy that you couldn't figure out what was wrong with you? I got news for you. You stay full of the Holy Ghost and he don't have a chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've often said the person who is full of the fire of the Holy Ghost is too hot for the devil to handle. Did you hear what I said? Somebody ought to be on your feet shouting right now. He who is on fire with the Holy Ghost is too hot for the devil to handle. Hallelujah. If you're not on fire with the Holy Ghost, you are subject to his many attacks. Well, there are many things besides just oppression from the devil. There are depressions, there's fears, there's doubts, there's anxieties of many descriptions. But you live in the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's why he came to be your comforter. He came to be your comforter because without him, you are comfortless. You are comfortless without the work of the Holy Ghost in your life. And I'm here to tell you, I got to have him move. Hallelujah upon my life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you can't count him as of no value. How many of you have never thought much about the person of the Holy Ghost? I would say over 50% of you have never thought very much about the person of the Holy Ghost. You know it's real, but you don't think about how important to you he is. I want you to feel this morning how important to you he is. It is important to you that you are subject and that you humbly allow him. I'm not talking about some crazy stuff. Many times you see Pentecostal churches and it's just a lot of noise. That's not what I'm about this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't mind real Holy Ghost noise when people are shouting and praising and blessing and the Lord is moving in the house. house. But it's deeper than that. It's bigger than that. It's a comfort that goes with you when you go to work. That goes with you when you're on a tough assignment. That goes with you when you're battling with the world and the things of this world. I'm going to tell you, he is to be honored. And if you don't honor him, you grieve him. I really believe that. If you don't honor him, you grieve him. When you pay him no attention. How many of you have been in a Holy Ghost filled church and the Spirit of God is moving and there's people sitting around paying no attention to nothing? They literally are paying no attention to what's going on. It's like it's not even important to them. It's not even of value to him or to them. Hey, hear me, church. The sweet Holy Ghost is grieved when you pay him no attention. The sweet Holy Ghost has been sent by the Father. You are his temple. You understand? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have one main reason for your existence, and that's to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't allow him to flow in your life, you are grieving him. Oh, somebody help me. When you don't allow him to flow in your life, you are grieving him. When you ignore him, if he begins to move in this church and you ignore him, and others are raising their hands and worshiping God, and you're as cold as an iceberg, you are ignoring him. Raise your hand. I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. Raise your hand and honor him because he's worthy. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, make this old leg right. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. Honoring him is a blessed thing. Yeah. Say, raise your hand and just worship him a minute. Sweet Holy Ghost, your presence is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I couldn't live without you, Holy Spirit. I couldn't live without your presence, Holy Ghost. I got to have you moving in my life. I cannot make it without you, Holy Spirit. Oh, I feel his moving presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you dishonor his presence, when you cut him off of what he wants to do in your life, when you leave him, leave your first love and go back after the world, you need to understand you're grieving the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel his presence in this house. I feel his presence in this house. Now, I'm not about to be through preaching, but I want you to stand with me because I'm gonna bring it to a close. I can't go any further. Father, I'm here to love on you and praise you and honor you and bless you. You're everything to me. You're everything to my life, Lord. I love the sweetness of your grace. I love your... Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you just ask him to have his way in your life? I want you to raise your hands and praise him with all that's in you. Hallelujah. We got a church world full of people who have never seen or felt the moving of the Holy Ghost. He has so long ago left their churches and so long ago ignored and pushed out the door, and people are hungry. And you got these charismatic places that's made a fetish out of tongues, and the whole thing has taken the place of Jesus and all that Jesus does. I'm here to tell you there's a biblical balance. It's in the Bible, and you can live in this Bible and he'll change your life. Oh, do I feel his Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the sweetness. Just love him. Just open your heart and just out of your own heart and life, love him and praise him and honor him. Holy Catherine Saboya, I want everybody hungry for a moving of the Holy Ghost in your life to come and fill these altars. Will you quickly come? Hallelujah. Brother Mark, Marlon, I want you to get a mic and help me lead them in prayers. Hallelujah. Father, we just come here to love on you. We come here to praise you. Thank you for what we feel this morning, Lord. Thank you for the healing presence of the Son of the Living God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're here to let the Holy Ghost have his way. If you're hungry for him, turn loose and let go. Don't hold nothing back. Praise him with all your heart. Let him baptize you. Let him fill you. Oh, come to know him. Come to know him, love him, and know him. Lead us, Brother Marlon. Rabba Sandari Clotemia. Oh, I thank you for your Holy Ghost, Father.
Father, thank you for your word today, Father. Oh, God, if we would take a hold of this truth, knowing that, Lord, without the Holy Ghost, there's no communication with heaven. There's no Father, there's no Son without the Holy Ghost taking us and presenting us to you. There's no revealing of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Thank the Holy Spirit.
My name that is in the book of life and life is all washed away.
Wonderful, wonderful grace of my God. My name is in the book.